All right, folks, welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast, Dr. Bob.
Hey, Steve, how's it going?
Buddy? I'm living the dream, buddy, living the dream.
Excellent. Folks,
couldn't get Jay Bird and the times lined up. I'm still here in the wilds of Canada. Bob is back from Canada, and he is back doing what Dr. Bob does. But anyway... Well, how's your week been, Bob? How's the Dr. Bob shop been? What's the comings and goings of Bob shop?
Well, it's been pretty quiet.
not a lot of fibs in your living room?
Or no, not too many.
Anybody stop by your house, ask for fat heads?
Well, of course. That's natural. That's what we do.
that's absolutely it. So, man, I will tell you, my man, it is... To say wind-burnt face or wind-chapped face today would be a gross understatement.
Oh.
It is howling like the wolf. You'd think it was a Duran Duran video out there right now, boys.
Wow.
It is something to behold. So, let me ask you this, because you're right there, in the metro area. What are you hearing there? What's that kind of shaping up to be with a little bit of a cool-off and...
Yeah, it's starting to cool off a little bit now. I think we're down. I think we're safely under the 80 degree mark here. Seems like that's what it's sitting at right now. It's just getting fishable the last week, maybe week and a half or something like that.
Very good. I didn't realize.
And it seems like fish are moving up shallow. So
nice. Well, yeah, you hit that mid 70s, and I'll tell you, up here in Canada, I was actually out with the. Ben that did the kamikaze chatterbait, his brother we're out doing the do here, and we go out with Danny Herbeck. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
I have heard of him.
He's son
That's a
of
stick right there.
Son of Herbeck. Stick in the mud. That's what I call, he's a stick. My ass. Anyway. Danny's good people. So he went out, and folks will be able to see here shortly. A couple cool little bait demos he did on the new Savage Gear stuff. We go out, go over on Eagle. The wind starts howling, it starts blowing, and it's the same story everywhere. He had a bang up week. Actually, it's funny trying to get a hold of people this week, and it's my fault, not Jay's per se. And I appreciate you being here to put up with me, I had to do Danny's show with him because everybody's just running and gunning. The amount of hours you're having to put in, the grind is real. You know what I'm saying? So Joe Cooper's out grinding. And then when he's not, when he's got time, Danny's grinding and.
Right. That's what I've heard, too, that folks have been putting fish in. That's what I hear anyway. Folks have been getting their fish, but you work for them. Yeah, it's hours. It's full days.
It is full days. Oh, there comes one. And, it's truly one of those things of when you have your opportunity, you better execute.
Right.
You better execute and don't. I hate it because it's really one of those scenarios where there's so little room for error and there's so little room for fixable mistakes, whether it be the books or the podcast here, and I'm always harping you and I keep each other in check in the boat quite a bit. Well, either stay focused, do this, do that. You're always executing. You know what I'm saying? And that is so imperative. The worse it is, the more intense you need. I don't say intense, but the more focused you need to be.
Yeah, more focused. Yeah.
Maybe this evening. I might have ended this evening by throwing a topwater and just burning it and screaming at the sky, something like that. you gotta blow off. Exactly. Why, God, why? You're just sitting there going, can I rip the trolling motor prop off so we can go in, please? You have those days and you get these massive cold fronts. We got bit, but we didn't get crushed. You know what I'm saying? Right. One of those bites, like, I don't want to hit the bang. I give up. That's the way that cookie crumbles. But when it's howling, what was fun is we're coming across, and you're like, okay, the the heading out, Bob, the fetch was pretty nasty into camp, right?
Oh, right. Yeah, and, where are your position? Yep.
Right. And that we're like, okay, it was kind of head, like nose into camp. Well, we come back in, it's just shifted pretty much straight north there from it to just make it horrendous the other direction. That's the kind of game, you know, kind of games you're playing. And,
right.
You know, and that's just the scenario you get into. But yeah,
it's so easy for boat control then too, right? Being able to, I mean, when you make when the wind shifts like that, then you go, okay, well, now where can we safely fish?
Well,
especially if it's blowing like that. And then you're making calls on the, you got to be paying attention.
Well, that's the thing is that pivot real quick about where are we going to fish? Where are we safely going to fish? Because a lot of, they've not been in the heavy bluff.
Okay.
Like Danny, when we did the Canadian Muskie report with Danny, you know, he and I just kind of went, oh, well, here's what I'm seeing. Here's what he's seeing. And there's definitely, they're not staging or setting up where it is not wind blown rocks. It is behind wind blown rocks on the lee side or, you know, whatever. I mean, there's some wind stuff to be played, but not 20 mile an hour stuff with gusts that'll take your hat off. You know, they're not playing that thing. But
was the wind shift kind of like one of those real precipitous things? Was it like, oh, front's here, like we had that week, or was it sort of slowly shifted over the course of 3 hours or something?
No, this was just like, we're gonna smote your day by the hand of God kind of shift. it wasn't that dramatic, but it was impactful, you know. It's
right.
Let me put it this way. After that shift took place, we might as well gone play bingo in town. You know? So one of those, it is what it is. And I'm sure there was one eating somewhere, but I wasn't anywhere near him. You know, that's the game. And you know, it's just interesting, like I said, comparing notes with Danny, comparing notes with Steve-O, Coop and everybody else of everyone's in the same boat, but you've got to, I mean, I said on last week's episode, but you've got to do a lot of things every day really well.
Right.
You know, you've got to do a lot of things. You know, we had one and who knows what it was. We could have ran into the side of a walleye. Who knows? A little trolling pass. Okay. We had something happen. Right. That wouldn't have happened if we weren't casting. We had something happen. Who knows? Like I said, could have been this, that, the other. You know, had one little move early in the day on vertical jigging, you know, and it's like, okay, so if you look at the day and it nothing hit the net and it was a horrifically tough condition, but there was vertical jigging, there was trolling, there was casting, everything in between was done. We were hitting reefs, we were hitting weeds, we were hitting islands. You know what I'm saying? Confidently doing that put us in position for one really pathetic musky strike where he went, meh.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Where he touched, it's like he kissed it and said, nay. You know, because it's not even like the hand of God strikes you need. But that's kind of the thought process I have going right now. The worse it is, the more I need to do well.
Right.
You know, do.
And that's, and that's the thing too. I mean, if you're not diverse in your approach like that, you would have zero. Like, it would be a zero day. Like, there's no activity, and you would have gone, well, where are they? But at least you have, like, a little bit of feedback to go, okay, we've got at least some locational ideas set up for tomorrow or something like that.
Well, so, and a lot of it is just Danny and I, again, talking about this, which is just ridiculous, is where they were yesterday is not where they're at today. They're not going to be there in an hour. You almost feel like you're running into them. You'll randomly run into schools of bait and you go boom, and that's when it happens. And there's not a tremendous amount, and I hate it when you hit cold fronts and things of this nature. There's not a lot of rhyme or reason, and at least what I'm seeing on my water right now, I'm fishing, not a lot of sliding way back into the stuff. You know what I'm saying? You would think, oh, we're going to get that opportunity at the bull rushes or something like that. But it's just it's a weird year. And like I said, you know, the Herbex and the Eagle crew and all that, and a lot of people I'm seeing. Now, with that being said, though, you lived through it. You and I on the trip, we just, you know, spent the week and all that stuff of watching, and I'll let you take it for a minute, but talking in camp, seeing the grim faces and the kicking of rocks, and then we were doing something different.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, it depends on what experience you want, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's when you're dinosaur hunting, it's definitely a different experience. And if you get a couple of lookers in that category, like you feel like you did something too, and then yeah. When you stick one, that's a big deal. I mean, and
yeah,
and it's not simple, because the fact of the matter is, in those sorts of situations, you're fishing for not very many fish. Mm-hmm. Realistically, you're fishing for not very many of them.
Yeah.
And you just got to put yourself in a position where you're running into them, where they're transitioning, they're going to they're going to a spot where you think they're going to be. And I mean, it's a lot of work, sometimes not for a lot of gratification, but boy, when it happens, it happens. And it was pretty great when it happened.
that was the thing. I mean, I think I threw some stuff out there in the last podcast, but I mean, we, Dr. Bob and myself of especially as a bait maker too.
Yeah.
It's just like, in retrospect, I'm going, here's this new bait. Here's nerdgasm on the boat. Right.
Exactly. True.
And it's just like Bob and I sitting in the cabin, just having literally just pontificating about the dumbest shit ever. And we liked it though. It's like, if you could turn musky fishing into Settlers of Catan, we're gonna do it, you know.
Right.
And trying to really break it down to, okay, this is right. And I think what we're doing, and again, I wouldn't say that I'm not that, I'm eating crow on this statement, let me just get it out, which is this. I have said in the past that I thought big fish were not patternable, and you just had to catch a lot of fish to catch, like, and I'm not talking 50s. I'm talking the big bigs.
Right. Yeah. The megas. The bigs, the megas.
Megas. Yeah. And I'm going to say everything yet, but we found a few things. A few things have been learned about megas this year. And then comparing notes again, Bob and I were sitting here, and you know, I told you, we actually spent some time with Steve Herbeck, and that's one of the few people I know that has mega experience.
Right.
Right.
Mega experience.
Mega. Yeah. We're talking legal, Canadian legal, 54 inch plus fish, which there's not a lot of them. And there's certain things, and I don't know if I've said it on here yet, but that, one of the more interesting things, and Bob, I mean, what did we see after Mega is in the net?
We saw the princess of the lake.
Yeah.
And we saw the princess of the lake feed, actually. It was quite interesting. Mm-hmm. Not on our baits, unfortunately. No. But
got, yeah, that was shocking. Yeah. We're like looking, and here we're coming back in. It's like, well, I think I even said this I said the line, for completion's sake, we ought to fish the other side of that rock, which is a line my dad had, for people who don't know the inside scoop. When my father caught his biggest fish, he had just caught one on one side of a rock and ate some crackers and said, for completion's sake, we ought to fish the other side of that rock, and caught the biggest one he ever caught. I don't think he's catching any more now. He kind of did. Tough. He topped out, you know. But we said that, and I just jokingly in the moment said it, and looking at the follow scope there, and we're like, what's that? What's that? What's that? And it just smoldered a walleye.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was truly, I mean, just incredible when you go, well, I think our chances are zero now.
Here, right. But,
you know.
Yep.
But seeing that thought process of, you know, here's a mega and as a partner.
Right.
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 Traveling in pairs. Yeah.
The thing, and that's something I read. Like, I mean, I think I read that in Tom Gelb's book that he talks about pairs and stuff like that. Really big fish seem to operate in pairs, and then there are others that are, you know, the smaller ones act in packs, but the big ones seem to act in pairs, probably because there aren't as many of them. So
yeah,
having a pack of megas is pretty unlikely, but
you know, I'd like to find them, but but nonetheless, I mean, of, and I'm sure people like thinking, well, what are the things? And I mean, we just teased it, but I mean, factually and from the, you know, been very lucky on this trip. I have two megas, and which is a big statement to say you got two, not one but two. That's fine. It's not a brag, but it's just commentary. Which is in relationship with the other ones I've been fortunate enough to catch. You have, and how did you put it? Okay, if you have a small sample size of something, but you have a sample size. What were you saying? That it's like here's the one data point.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's a type of statistics, but it basically, if you have an, you know, when you have a small sample size, normally, like statistically say, well, that could be a random fluctuation. But with big fish, though, everything is significant because there's so little data that it's so unlikely to find them that when you find them, it's almost certainly meaningful. And all the details are almost always certainly meaningful. Not always, but they're more likely to be meaningful than if you're trying to pattern a walleye. I mean, they could, a whole bunch of, since there's so many of them, so many walleyes in the lake, there's going to be some that are doing crazy stuff. The chances that a singular big fish that there's only 50 of in all of Canada, I mean, not that small sample size, but the chances that the thing that they did was a random thing is low.
Right.
So it's probably the things that you find on those rare fish are probably significant. And that's why, I mean, we talked about it. They're probably slightly more patternable in a way.
Because of that. And you know, of fish in that caliber, 54 plus, all that fun stuff. Relationship to not just deep water, the deepest available.
Right.
The deepest available. What's the deepest water in this basin, period, right? What is the structure, or whether it be a point, whether it be a complex structure, and secondly, that it has multiple stages, right? Right. And what I mean from that is, okay, you don't have, you know, here's old Larry's Reef and it comes up and you got this. You have a shallow section, a mid section, a deep section. It's stair stepping or terraced almost.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I've seen of like, okay, so max depth in so-and-so basin is 50 feet. This thing has a terracing nature where there's multiple stopping points. I mean, it's like, you know, like I said, like a terrace.
It's got a 25 foot area. It's got a 12 foot area. It's got a 7 foot area.
Right. All that is in play. And then again, something that, you know, I was looking at in retrospect, I even mentioned to you as, really, it's kind of ridiculous, but if you think about where that fish bob was with when we were with me with four, is it had two exits as well. It could go to another basin right here, or it could go to another basin right here. Right. It was transitional. So it was, then I'm talking for megas, and I've noticed this, the same could be said for the other. If I go left, I'm in completely different kind of scenario. If I go right, I'm in a completely different scenario.
Right. Yeah.
There was deep water, the deepest you can get, complex structural elements that have multiple stages. And then there were two kind of exit points to here's the big walleye flats. And then here's, you know, deep reefs. the others, right. Here's a different basin. I, you know, the longer I looked at it, the more I went, okay.
Right.
That I believe, I think that bucket will carry a little water.
Right. The yeah. other thing that I think we played around, I mean, obviously that spot, we mm-hmm. didn't leave that one alone the rest of the week either.
No, but, sir.
But did we see a, another fish on that? Oh boy, I think that.
Nope.
Did we see another fish on that exact spot? Not my yeah. week, however.
Are you being chased by dogs?
Yes, of course yes. I am.
you live in an alley.
Well, that's, I mean, it's a, I live in a box.
Man, you know. The doctor business is worse than you'd think, folks.
Well, I mean, you go away for, you know, a week in Canada, and they take back. Your house away.
Got the old kibosh there. But, like you're saying.
But I think, the timing, though, is I don't know if they're going to be there every day.
No.
They're not going to be in a catchable position. They're probably not in a feeding position. I mean, you and I talked about that, too.
Yeah. How long would it, and I would estimate, another corollary that we've seen, in a forage base where a place where walleye's on the menu for these things, right? Mm-hmm. The yep. walleye's we were seeing were like really good walleye's. I don't want to say trophy class wise, but man, they were not freaking. They were. You're gonna have, these things were gonna have some cheeks on them, right?
Right. They're not eaters.
They're not eaters. Yeah. And it's funny because even you see this, like, okay, we've got some good walleye, and then miraculously we're seeing a good muskie now, right? Okay, right. here's average walleyes and 40-inch fish. Here's this and here's that, right? Right. And continuing seeing that, where that was a scenario, and I actually called you and said, okay, well, I saw one, and I saw what we were calling the princess. And mm-hmm. had that fish move, but then on LiveScope on the fog, saw what was a gigantic mark, haul ass out of there in the princess break off.
Yeah.
When we were talking about that, of like, oh, did that one take a cue from, you know, was that the one that we had stuck?
Right.
And it heard the transducer yeah. or heard this or, you know. Heard my
I know
accent.
That.
Yeah,
folks.
I know that damn voice. Right?
Right.
Something.
That beautiful singing voice. I can hear it from here.
There he was singing Men with No Hats again.
That's right.
That was crazy. And again, it lined up with the same wind direction and the same time period. It wasn't major, minorish. But you know, right. you had coined a term in the boat, the golden hour. Maybe right. you didn't coin a term, but you had said, "Here's the light."
Yeah, it's a reference to it's photography actually. But
as a, gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny in the boat today, Alex and Ben and hanging with you know some more friends here, and Alex made the comment. He said, "Some days you feel it." You know, and this is not one of those days it doesn't look or feel right. And it's even right. like it's sunset, like it just didn't have the same vibe. And it's not right. a humidity yeah. thing or just even the look of how things are lining up. But, you know, delving more into that patterning thing on these critters or on these megas, I mean, what do you think actually plays? What do you think's meaningful in kind of the observations we have and what we know and at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think the complex structure is obviously crucial. Adjacency mm-hmm. to deep water is crucial. The presence of forage is crucial to the mm-hmm. point where when we were hunting later mm-hmm. on that week, we kept asking each other, because I mean, mm-hmm. me, what would I would usually, if there's forage there or not, if it's a good spot, I'm fishing it.
Mm-hmm.
But we kept asking each other, like, okay, we see forage here. because mm-hmm. like the megas, if they're that's the thing about the megas, if they're, I don't think you can kind of harass them into eating like that. I mean, it's, they got to be in feeding position and in feeding time, and they're not going to do that if there's not forage available. So
right.
I think it's got to be there. It's got to be in proximity to them. Mm-hmm. So this isn't, I mean, not to say it'll never happen, but zombie casting probably, you know, on structure, no matter how good it is, without forage is probably an empty gesture.
Right, and right. Then, why even?
Yeah. So let's go to a different spot where, that's got forage on it. Let's find one that has forage sitting on it, and that's probably our, that's the probably more of a ticket than let's just fish this for completeness sake to say that we fish this spot because it looks so good. But
it looks so good.
It doesn't look good without forage on it was our observation, and at least for that pattern. And then timing, I think it's just a matter of what's your, you know, these things are patrolling, right? They're going to they're gonna find a feeding position at certain times and certain days and in relation to the fronts. And which day is it?
Yeah, well, which day is it? Yeah, which day is it? And
is hope it you're the day of the front, the day before the front? Is it 2 days after the front? I think that's really important.
I just picking your brain on it, right?
Yeah.
You thinking, so proximity to deep water, check. Complexity of structure, check. Before. Can you get the same result, or can you be in front of those fish without one of those components? Because you're saying the bait.
Yeah.
The bait's not there, right? And if you look at, Danny brought it up, we were talking about bigs because he got a couple, you know, 52-inch class fish, and we're talking about these. Like, okay, the lack of time that those fish spend shallow, right? So does that play to the adjacent to deep water? I mean, like, to get that you know, that true giant, the mega-sized muskies in the net, you go, what can you live without? Or do you have to have all of it? Do you have to have the right condition? Do you have to have check the box? Or, you know, maybe you see what I'm saying? Like, is there one of those components? Do you think they are staging? Because I don't believe they're staging in anticipation at all. I think they're staging after the other, you know, other predators have set up.
Yep, right? I think that's true. Yeah.
And I don't believe, because they would be caught far more often if they were staging in anticipation up in 3 foot weeds.
Right. That's the thing I think, because granted, I don't have a ton of experience. I was basically running off of your experience, because you've got a lot more experience contacting megas than I do. But it seemed like at least what we were on was, if the four isn't there, forget it. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense to me. I mean, I can justify it on the ride, on the long ride home. I can justify it by going, listen, these fish are there to feed. You're going to have a really hard time fooling them if they're not actually feeding. You might get a 3-footer to smoke a bucktail because it feels like it. Because it's angry at bucktails.
Love bucktails. Yeah.
Muskie's favorite food.
Jeremy Smith, Muskie's favorite food's a bucktail.
But you know that I think that's the deal. The big ones, I think you're not going to trick them unless they're actually feeding.
Well, I mean, if
they've probably been caught a bunch of times. They're like, nah, I'm not gonna. That shiny thing isn't gonna make me mad enough anymore.
Well, if you put a gun to my head and said, "Find me fat old people," right? I ain't looking at the gym.
Right.
I'm not going to
go to the buffet line at Ruby Tuesday.
Oh, the salad bar there is just spectacular. They have the best croutons. Yep. Oh, it's crouton. I had a guy named Crouton one time. I wanted to just freaking rip my hair out of my head. It's crouton, moron. Crouton. Where are you from? Lithuania?
But France.
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 But I mean, that's the thing. Is like, if you think about it that way, where's the fat old people? Old people are at the buffet, and it's the cheap buffet.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Where's the guaranteed never ending taters?
So, right.
And again, I mean, I guess in real time here, I'm thinking about it like, okay, just in if you're on the big forage and you're on the big structure, therefore, does that make sense? Of like, it's kind of like everything was upscaled all at once.
Yes.
It's bigger forage, bigger areas, bigger water.
Right.
Right.
And access to access to other spots, other areas as well. Others. Like they can, because I felt like looking around at that spot where on the spots, we'll just say multiples, because the year before you had that mega on that shook off and took your split or your
took my soul.
That took one took soul. That was part.
You were
of
there
it,
for
right?
that one. That one took part of my soul.
Right. Yeah. But the complexity there is such that they can patrol the whole area and have deep water around. They can go other reef complex and that reef complex. Yeah, this is what you're talking
well,
about.
Well, here's the thing though. So, and again, for those of you that weren't there, the fish that Bob and I latched into last year, and I went on my split ring tirade, right? and just soul crushing split ring event. When you look at it, what it is a reef that is adjacent to current. But if you were to face that reef, Bob, you can go left to one basin, right to another, or dead ahead to a third basin.
Right.
It's a three-way stop.
Yeah.
Right? And I went, ooh. And I had one other mega encounter years before that in that same area. And I'm sitting here going, okay, these are happening at crossroads. You just put that best. I'm stealing that from you. Yeah. If I look at my encounters with mega fish, they're happening deepest water in the basin, complex structure, terraced nature to them, multiple stages, right? And then, boom, turn left, turn right, go headway. It's that crossroads of the convergence or the availability. And again, is it a crossroads or availability or convergence? We don't know because we can't ask them.
Right.
But that's
they're
the thing.
They're not telling.
They're not telling, right? Which is if they turn and burn either direction, it's a whole other ball game for them.
Right.
You know.
And that's why I was wondering too when we were talking about it, you know, a couple weeks ago now.
Mm-hmm.
What if, you know, if you find the spot but you don't find the fish?
Mm-hmm.
Like you find the air, okay, a bunch of forage here. It looks good. Is it the golden hour? Oh, it is. Mm-hmm. And then do you have the opportunity to hit all of the areas that are touched at that crossroads too? It's like, it's time. This is where it would happen. But
if you think about it, that's adjacent to a net bound too. That is just I have to film it before I leave Canada here. It is the most neck down Canadian neck down I know of.
Right.
Like, if you went, show me a neck down, and I could teleport you to a neck down, I go, and we're here.
That's the one right there.
That is. It has it all, folks. Weeds. It's got rocks. You want to see a sat? It's got it all.
Yeah.
So
right.
It's almost blatantly obvious.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of. Bam, just kind of.
And the truth is, you wouldn't see it on a map.
Mm-mm.
Like, you wouldn't see it on a map. You wouldn't recognize it on a map, actually.
No.
I mean, you might have a hint about it,
right?
But you have to go there to see it and go, Oh, yeah. I mean, there were a couple of areas like that that you took me to, and I'm like, oh, this is Canada.
Right. Yeah. This screams.
This is Canadian muskie fishing right here.
Right. Yeah. There's just a beaver on the shore pouring syrup all over itself.
Exactly. This is Canada.
Well, if I could tell you how the rest of my evening went, I was trying to find a beaver on live scope we saw dive. That's how exciting today was. I'm like, can I see it on scope?
Was it the white one?
No, it wasn't. There is an okay. albino beaver. Haven't seen it in a while. I bet you Danny or Glenn came and got its pelt. They'll pay their mortgage with some albino beaver. But, you know, it's interesting because the other aspects of it, you and I were just riffing so much coming in. You know, sitting here, other than we did spin, I actually played it for Ben and Alex, the video of the old fishing commercials we found, which was just wonderful. Horrific. Yes. But other than that, Bob and I were pretty dialed in on trying to knock down some of the details here. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a mega, but if you look here, I'm thinking about some of the other experience I've had on Trophy Quest Fish. You know, complexity of structure, the main structure. If you take a small Wisconsin inland lake, right? Mm-hmm. It's the thing. It's got the thing where, you know, I've got a few 50s in Wisconsin, and if you take that small lake, you go, okay, here's the rock point in the middle of the lake.
Yep.
It's set up on that. It goes down to the contact point in the main basin. It sets mm-hmm. up on that. You know, it might not have access to other basins, but like, one is like you turn left, you're in this side, you turn right on the other. You're kind of set there where you're controlling the whole scenario, right? Right.
Yeah.
Another Wisconsin fish I'm thinking of, oh, it's got a creek, it's got an island, it's got a rock bar, it's got weeds. There's nothing else in the lake, but this is superbly central but complex.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And again, it's something where you get a hint of that from the map. So your map work is still crucial, but it's noticeable, but your map work tells you to look at it.
And something that I divulged to you on the boat, which is just nutty. And this is if you, again, I didn't know we're just catching up and then BSing on this subject. That area, I told Bob, I said, I ain't seen any other ones.
Right.
It came out of my mouth. I have never caught a fish off this.
Right. Right.
Never.
Right. Right.
And to it, how many times, and this is
this, a lot of be here.
This, to say it, and this is the thing, this is not fishing Johnny's weed bed because Lenny Crexbaugh saw 234s. Right.
Right.
This is fishing on, I don't say blind faith, fishing on blind logic, mm-hmm. right? The logic says this should produce, it has the musky things. I said to Bob, I said, the biggest one I've seen here is 55.
Right.
Wasn't far right. off.
Right.
I ain't caught it yet.
Yeah.
And that's been a long time, but you right. go, this is not producing for anyone. But
right.
when you come into that area and you go, all right, here's the complexity. Here's this, here's that, here's the forage. Here is, and the plan of attack. I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm trying to give you everyone the thought process. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
Yep. Was yep. when do we go there? Well, when's that? And I think we said it in the boat. When's that sun going to get behind those trees?
Right, exactly.
I mean, you're like, nah, well, we're kind of screwing around, peckering around a rock at the end, right. other end. I'm like, let's give that a bit. Okay.
Yeah.
Going in with no pretenses other than, well, no one's caught one here, but this sure has the juice.
Yeah, it sure looks like it has a juice. Yep.
And then,
yeah, and then trying to get the timing right, be pretty, yeah, yeah.
And I think a lot of that is too, is there's so little info. Again, I wish there was more info on catching megas, and there was, I mean, there's not much. I mean, there's not many people I'd turn to and actually look at as a credible source, right?
Yeah. Because the credible sources probably aren't talking. Right. Most of them won't.
Most of them won't, and not most many of them won't.
Yeah, and those that talk probably aren't telling you the whole truth.
Right, right. We got them off the docks there in camp.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, and it's kind of like the boogerism. One fish is a mistake. Two fish are lucky. Three fish is a pattern, you know.
Right.
We're encroaching on double digits, and you start having enough of a sample size to go, okay, you know, trying to push the boundaries as much as I possibly can to figure it out. And I'm not saying I've got it figured out. I'm not saying we know anything, but that the treatise has always been complex structure, access to deep water. Well, my data, my sample size says they're correct on that.
Yeah.
But also this, the larger forage present, check, prerequisite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like I said, I'm really starting to put a lot in. Again, it's been the thought process. I'm sure you're going to spin up on it, Bob, a bunch when I say the access to the other basins or the access to other areas.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yep. I think that's you and I definitely talked about this on the boat long. I mean, this was back in March probably, but that study in Wisconsin that shows these things, you know, run around for about 15 miles a day. They put about 15 miles a day on their pedometers or finometers or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I think they're patrolling. They're like continuously patrolling. They're sit here for a little while and they're like, well, it's not happening here. They're probably doing what we do.
Yep.
They're running and gunning.
They're running and gunning, right. They're
running and gunning.
I'm just going to wait here until they show up like your walleye fishing. Just keep making the same cast. Yeah.
Right, just keep making the same cast. But I think they're probably doing the same kind of thing, and our job is to intercept them.
Yeah, and that complexity or those intersections. You know, whether and I
it
think
gives it, them their milk run. Like we have milk runs for our fishing spots. Well, I'm sure they have milk
they're
runs.
They're fishing.
So yeah, they're fishing too.
That's one thing people, you look at it. Nobody ever kind of looks at it on Muskie's front and go, well, he's got to catch fish.
Right.
You know, when he's hungry, he's got to catch fish. So what's his milk run? And if you can find, you can open it. It's not that big of a deal. But you've got, that's the thing is they've got to catch fish. They've got to have their milk run. What is the milk run? And they know the lake better than we do. I can tell you that much. I can promise you. They've spent a lot more time in the water than you have. And that's the thought process of they're setting up, they're showing up where they know it's going to come together for them.
Right. Yep.
Where's it going to come? Because, you know, not that they're, the fish that are inactive, they're inactive, right? Leave that to the power scope and, you know, beat them in the head.
Right.
But the ones that are going out there and going, I'm looking to eat, I'm looking to feed, they're doing the same thing we're doing. We're just trying to intercept.
Right.
You know, so other than that, I'm ready to go back to the USA. I can tell you that much. Listen.
You leaving after Saturday then? Or?
Yeah, I'd punch my own mother for a Taco Bell right now. I'm just saying. It's like, I hate it. Love my mother, but man, do I love it. Like, if Gaffieri was here, I'd let him take me to Flavor Town. All right. It is. It's a rough gig up here.
You've had enough Tim Hortons, that's what you're saying?
But I've had enough Tim Hortons and sausage eggers and freaking. Oh, good Lord. I'm ready for it to be another year before I step foot in the Dryden Walmart. I know.
That's a staple, though. That's a staple.
You know, I'll have to put together. Dr. Bob and I may have got some shots of our tourism video here of town if you've never been up here. Folks, it come for the fishing, stay for the homeless Indians. It's amazing.
That's right. It's fantastic. it's fantastic.
Bring the wife, the kids. Heck, have your wedding here. It's beautiful. It's right there right. in the heart of Dryden.
Right.
You know, the other day you wake up and you're going in
the shelter.
There's just a man operating a jackhammer in the parking lot, and I'm going in there. I'm wonderful. This is just. Yeah. What's it like back home? Not this, I can tell. Not this. Anyway. All right, Bob. Well, I appreciate you filling in for Jay. And sure. Folks, like I said, listening to mega musky ramblings here. But anyway, brother, I'll talk to you soon, all right?
Sounds great.
And cheers.
Take it easy. Later.